Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Breaking up with Linda Michelle.
You said it, girl.
Michelle and Jess.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Say woo.
Breaking up.
Share and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
Well, good evening out there. It is Think Thursday, and I know that everybody had a wonderful day today, and if you didn't, you'll have a better one tomorrow. We have an exciting show. I have my special person coming on. Life coach Karen Berg is going to be on sharing with you. You know, she has good information. She makes you think. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 24/7 with the information that she brings to you. But before we get going, you know, it's not how you compare to others that is important, but rather how you compare to who you were yesterday. If you have advanced even one step, then you've achieved something great, okay? So keep that in mind before we get going. I just want to put this on just a little bit before we bring the life coach on. I don't know which direction she's going. She's so exciting. Telling us what she has to tell us, but I just want to play just a little bit of this, okay? Welcome in to Waking Up with Linda Mac Shen. And reminder, think about massing back up, keep them on, back to the beginning, be wise, think of yourself and others. Those cases are rising out there.
Oh, my mama told me, cause she said she learned the hard way. Said she wanna spare the children. She said don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for the truth. Cause all that you have is your soul. was a pretty young girl once. I had dreams, I had high hopes. Married a man, he stole my heart away. Gave his love, but what a high price it paid. And all that you have is your soul. Don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth. Cause all that you have is your soul.
I just wanted to play a little bit of that. Maybe we'll come back to it. But we have the life coach, Karen Berg, on the line with us with Waking Up with Linda McShann. She's going to care and share. And if you don't know where your soul is, when she finishes with you, you'll kind of like have an idea. Karen Berg, Professor Berg, are you on the air with us this evening?
I am, and I always feel like when we get together, Linda, that we're in sync across the universe.
Yes. Yes.
You just it's like you feel me.
Yes.
And I just enjoy our conversation so much. So I'm ready to roll. And honestly, I never really know what I want to talk about that night, but every time we start, we just find our way. So I'm ready to roll.
That's the fun. That's when we make it fun. I'm so glad to hear your voice. I've been looking at all your beautiful photos. You know, you caught that big old fish. That fish was bigger than you, Professor Berg. I saw the picture of that fish. I said, look at that fish. That fish is as tall as she is. I hope he stopped breathing, because if he flopped around, you were going to go off the boat. It was beautiful. I just love looking at your photos.
We catch them and release them just so the listeners don't get freaked out. But that was a big bass caught on a lake in Arkansas where I moved to, 7 months ago from California, where I met. And the way you take those pictures is that you hold the fish up closer to the camera so it looks bigger than it is.
Okay.
That's why they call them the, fisherman's tail or whatever. But
fisherman's lies.
Yeah, exactly. And that fish was caught on a whopper, water lure. It's a really cool little fishing lure that makes a noise like a little fan when it's going across the top of the water. And if you know that it's a fish, because with that kind of a lure, when the fish hits, there's no little tug, there's no question, oh, is that a fish biting at my life? It goes under the water like the old-fashioned bobs used to. You remember those little corks that used to, you could see them just go under the water. So it's like that. But anyway, we're not here to talk about fishing, but maybe we are fishing for some ideas. And I sent you my thoughts before we got together tonight, and I thought that it's sort of what was on my mind and in my soul this week was, and I don't know how many folks listening might feel this sometimes, but the topic we were talking about was, well, sometimes I get really tired of being me. And what does that mean? And why do I feel this way? And what would make me feel better? And like coaching, when we explore statements like, sometimes I get really tired of being me, what we're really talking about is helping our clients get back to the, for most of us today, it's a work-life balance, or it's getting in balance with your values and what's important to you, and those are of course related. So one of the things I thought we might talk about tonight, especially because we feel like we've been pushed and pulled for a year and a half, are we still in the pandemic? Are we still suffering and scared and hiding? Are we still holding back from the life that we'd like to have or think we could have? Or are we sort of tiptoeing ahead? Can we get back out? Can we restored to some sense of normalcy? Or what is normalcy? What does it even look like? Is it time yet to get back out there? And what do I want for my life? And one of the really big questions that the pandemic has raised for a lot of people, both those who were directly affected by losing loved ones and those who were indirectly affected, you know, by the ripple effect, you know, I think a lot of people are grappling with these ideas of what is really most important to me and my family.
Yeah.
And so when I was thinking, gosh, I get tired of being me, I think that my feelings come from always feeling like I might need to try a little harder or do a little more or be a little more. And then I remind myself, of course, of my own life coaching principles, which are you are enough. You are enough. And not only is life coaching about work-life balance, but it's about what we deal with in client sessions is being, not having.
Okay.
So when we're dealing with being and being human, being, what does it mean to be, you know, and not worried about having, maybe we're not striving so much as just recalibrating and refocusing on what is truly important. So I guess my question for tonight, and I wanted to get some ideas from you too, is, okay, so here's my, you know, how I build on my ideas, there's a little bit of a theory, that, you know, especially before the pandemic just wiped a lot of things out, we were living as Americans, particularly, we are always driven by the idea that real wealth, for example, comes from having an abundance of something,
mm-hmm.
money, esteem, fame. What does wealth mean? What is the definition of wealth? And so maybe let's just start there. That's part of the topic. But if we say wealth, and Lynn, I know you can answer this for me because I know your heart, what else do we mean by wealth? And what could wealth mean? And that's a question for you.
Okay, you gonna put me out here. Well, you know. Professor Barry,
I know you have a life philosophy. I know you have a life philosophy about wealth.
Oh yeah.
So what is wealth?
Well, you know, when you just actually look at it, wealth is just being able to, well, right now going through this situation, all of us that are still out here breathing, we're very, very wealthy people because we're breathing. Wealth does not really encompass a dollar figure all the time. It's health, it's happiness, it's joy. And so even you can, you know, be in a real dumpster or going through a lot of stuff, it doesn't mean you have to be, you can't be joyful about it. Because if you are wealthy in mind, it depends on the mindset, as you always say, that you know that you suffer what there is to suffer and enjoy what there is to enjoy. Because some things you don't have control over, but if you let them come in and engulf you, then you're going to fall in that hole. So even though you're going through pure H-E-L-L, you can still have a smile on your face. Wealthy people can smile. That's a form of wealth. Everybody can't put a smile on their face, no matter what. Wealth is being
okay,
able to...
I knew you'd know.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I wrote down. Before I ask you that question, and it wasn't a test, here's what I wrote down, and here's what you said. I wrote down health, happiness, friendship, love. You said, I'm going to list them back, you said health, happiness, and joy. We were very, very close.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So see, I knew that you would answer that question, the direction we should take this conversation tonight. Okay, right?
So let's keep going. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to keep this low. So we're saying in America, it sometimes is a traditional way, or there was pressure over these decades, you know, that real wealth comes from having things, right? Or
okay, Professor Bird, we lost her, and we're going to she trip out because she's quite a ways away from here. But what we're going to do is put something on until she comes back in, okay? We dropped her. You know how it is when you're dealing with technology. Let's put something on. Professor Bird back on with us. You know how this technology go. Professor Bird, you're back on. And you were getting ready to tell us about it in America, what we were taught about the tangible things were the important ones. And then I lost you, so I'm glad you're back again. Let's keep going and have more fun.
I don't know how far I got. I don't know which part got cut off. Did I talk about synchronicity, where we draw to ourselves what we need to learn in order to create the life that we want? Did we get that far?
No, we didn't get that far. We got in America, we were taught the most important, and then you went bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what happened. Well, really, the theme that I was wanting to explore is this idea that we have been taught that real wealth comes from having an abundance of things, you know, like money or fame or whatever. But that was way back at the beginning of the talk. So I hope we didn't lose all of that. And then I asked you what you thought wealth was, and you said health, happiness, joy, and hopefully that was included too. And then moving from that, what we're saying is that when we explore these higher order issues of fulfillment, living a life of purpose, living a life in harmony with what you want and not what you don't want. In other words, a lot of people keep themselves from being able to live these abundant lives because they're focused on the opposite of that, which is instead of joy and abundance, it's fear and scarcity. So this scarcity thinking, and I hope that wasn't my AirPods that dropped the call. It's the first time I've used them on our call. Let me hope it happens again. But the scarcity is living your life from a place of fear. And research tells us that babies, when we come into the world, the only innate fear that human beings truly have or that we're born with is a fear of falling. Isn't that interesting? And so all the other fears are created, right? So the only one that's innate, the only one that is a part of us naturally from the time we are born is fear of falling. And so if you think about all the other fears that we put in place that we try to live our lives by, for whatever reason, we're limiting ourselves. We're holding ourselves back. We are possibly keeping ourselves from the fullest experience of our lives. And honestly, some people are perfectly content with whatever that looks like to them. I'm happy with my fears. I'm happy with my fears. They keep me safe. Okay, so the next set of thoughts about that is that we do build what we need. We build into our lives what we need to feel safe, to feel like we not only have enough, but that perhaps we have more than we need. So abundance is truly about not just having enough, but having enough of what you need, but also to be able to then give to others. So you have enough. There's some in reserve, and when there's some in reserve, you're able to share and give freely. And, of course, that's the expression of truth. Human love, you know, is to love others, you know, as you love yourself or as much as you love yourself. So love your brother and, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, that kind of thing. So, and that's in every major religion in the world, not just Christianity. But so what do we do, though? What do we do as humans? We limit our vision. And if we're afraid, we limit our vision. So what a life coach does is come in and help you challenge all of the key areas of wealth or abundance in your life. And these are key experiences that you may want to actually look at and explore. So let me just list what they are. And these are just the top line ones, but usually we would talk about relationships or love. The next sort of key area is time. The next one is vision. The next one might be money. The next one, career. And the next one, finally, is contribution or, you know, giving back. So if we went through each one of those, a live coaching session, the coach might ask you to try to answer and record the answers to the questions about each of these key areas. So, again, we're talking about having reserves, not only having enough of each of these, but having enough and then being able to give to others. So here's the question we start with. How would you know you have a reserve in each of these areas? So in other words, how would you know you have a reserve in the area of relationship or love? What structures would be in place so that you would have more than just enough and can give generously to others in that area? And then the same thing with the next one. How would you know you have a reserve in the area of time? Mm-hmm. What structures would be in place that you would have more than just enough of time and can give generously, mm-hmm. give your time generously to others? And then we go to the next one, which is vision. How would you know you have a reserve in the key area of vision? What structures would be in place that you would have more than just enough and can give generously to others? Okay, so we do that, go through each of those. And so an answer for you might be, if you were my client, would be a reserve of relationships and love for me would look like this. And how I would give love, relationship to others, you know, would look like this. Okay, then you might write, a reserve of time for me would be evident or shown in this way, and how I would then give time to others, and write that out.
Right.
Okay, so this is kind of what that exercise looks like. And then when you get through all of those, and you've really had time to think and sort of sketch that out, and actually I would like to try this myself, because remember when we started the session tonight, my question to me was, you know, why do I feel like I'm really tired of being me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the answers for me is because I'd like to recenter. I would like to revisit these values. There's really nothing missing. I have an abundance of everything I need. But being intentional and conscientious about, you know, reviewing each of these things just sort of helps you recalibrate and get back to center and realize what you do have and what you're able to give, and that's you living from a life of love and giving and abundance and not a life of fear and insecurity or scarcity. So the next question then, okay, once you kind of go through that inventory, then, you know, just to underscore that you, now that you've recognized these things, how would you behave differently? Is there action that you can take to give to others in this area?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, is there action you can take tomorrow in this area? So that kind of thing. So any, you know, and this is, again, Life Coach is all about intentional, living life with intention and purpose, you know, living your best life, feeling fully alive, not just like coming home and plopping on the couch and hoping for the best Netflix show, you know, which, by the way, I do sometimes too. So,
right.
You know, you cannot be 100% in your flow all the time. But when we are in the flow, we're meditating, we're journaling, we're walking, we're intentionally reflecting on our lives and what it means to be our fully best person, fully alive, then this is a really great inventory that we can do. And I would call this exercise, you know, what do I need to live a satisfying life? And what does wealth mean to me? And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when I came on the past couple of months when we've been talking, I told you I developed my own rule for abundant living.
Yes.
And I don't know if I've ever read them all, but I thought I've added to them recently. So I have 12 now instead of 10. So I'm going to read those real quick and just share these before we go.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll stay on air. Okay, so these were what I considered sort of my own rules for abundant living, not doing the inventory that I just listed, but this was like several, like about a year ago when I first developed these. And it was just an exercise where I sat down one night and said, what is really important to me? And when I'm living these simple rules for myself and I'm stripping back the need for anything extra, you know, I'm being true to myself. This is who I am, and these are the things that are important to me. And I try to help clients develop their own rules for abundant living, or guidelines. You know, I call them rules. But okay, so here are mine. I'll just share Karen Bird's simple rules for abundant living. One, walk every day when you could ride or drive instead. Two, speak in life-giving words at the right time and with purpose. Three, challenge your outdated assumptions. Four, limit your tendency to experience guilt when you make a decision that's best for you. Five, use your voice to stand up for yourself. Six, engage in meaningful, far-ranging discussions with those whose intellectual capacity is compatible with yours. And you know what? I would not only just say intellectual capacity, I would say spiritual compatibility. And number seven, celebrate nature in as pristine a setting as you can get to safely. Eight, share simple pleasures with those you love and don't forget to laugh. Nine, nurture your body daily through healthy food and comfort food in moderation. 10, cultivate new skills as you perpetually learn and grow. 11, make your work for you, not the other way around. 12, and finally, 12, bestow tender, loving care on the grown-ups, children, pets, and plants in your life. And then finally, I said, above all, express gratitude to the Creator for every breath. And so your final one.
What's the final one again? I couldn't really hear that one.
Express gratitude to the Creator for your every breath until your final one, your final breath, in other words.
That's right.
Gratitude. Yeah.
Always gratitude, yeah. Gratitude. And I'm liking those rules, because once those rules are set in place, I kind of like put a cross mark next to cultivate new skills. You know, I'm always liking to learn something new. And then you sit down and you look, you say, okay. And then people look at you, well, what is it that you do and what you don't? Well, you should focus on one thing. That's how you limit yourself. I don't live up to your expectations. I might have to do six things just to eat. Okay, excuse me. So when you say cultivating the new skills, that's very important, because you might have to go from A to B. I mean, if you just, well, we're seeing this with this event that we're going through. You know, everything has changed. What is normalcy? Like you say, you have to get creative. Things are never going to be where they were before. So my, I wouldn't call it a fear, but my inquisitiveness is, okay, how are these things going to be done? Where will we go? I'm a firm believer of you talking about fear, because when we were born, we didn't have anything, only the fear of falling. But you have to be wise. Now, with this stuff going on, I don't know if it's fear or wisdom or being careful or thinking about self and others, but I just know that it's not normal for me. Okay, this is not normal. What is normal? I got a big question mark around that. So as far as giving with relationships, and we have an abundance, you share what you can share to help share your vision and with others, okay? And when it comes to time, you have to allow out how much time you're going to give to others, because you must reserve some time for yourself. Okay, no matter what, because if you don't reserve any time for yourself, you'll be being pulled north, south, east, and west. So my rule is, I'm learning how to say more no's than yeses, but I'm learning how to do it in a caring way, okay, unless you push me. But, yeah, we go either day. So I like those 11 rules, but the most important one, Professor Byrne, is the giving that gratitude, starting with yourself first. You have to start with you, and then have a gratitude and appreciation. That takes you a long way, I say.
Yeah.
For all of the 10 things.
Yes, and there's a whole other topic I'd like to explore that I was thinking about before we got together tonight, too, is how important forgiveness is in learning to love yourself. And that's
yes.
a whole other topic. It's a
oh,
whole
yeah.
other topic. And,
oh, yeah.
and you might have been talking about it on the show already, but it's one of our biggest things as we age and get into the, you know, you and I have been calling it our last chapter or our last act, you know, as we move on through the years, is that life is too short. It really is too short to live with the hang-up that we carry around or the feelings of not being able to accept who we are as individuals, you know? And I don't want to become a curmudgeon. I don't want to become that old lady that just basically doesn't put up with anybody because I'm walking around saying, I don't care what you think, I'm going to be myself. Like, there is part of me that wants to do that. There's part of me that wants to do that. But the other part of me really wants to just be out in the world, be having this abundance that we're talking about, being centered, being happy, and having not only enough for me, but enough to give to others, you know,
yeah.
and that spirit of abundance is what attracts the life that I want. I want a life filled of all of the kind of wealth that you and I talked about.
Yes.
You know, the health, happiness, love, friendship, laughter. I could go on. I mean, I've got to say, since I have gone through this life coaching process myself and made the decision to move back home, I may have mentioned in one of our other shows that people have been so welcoming, some of my old friends and new friends, that I have felt like I had this feeling that it was coming through to me that I was the thing that had been missing in their lives. And that made me feel so loved. You know, that like, okay, we're, especially my older friends, we're so glad you're back. We're so glad you're home. You know, and so that was an important sort of, you know, experience for me at this stage in my life. And then I guess beyond that, it's okay, now that you've landed and you've got a welcoming community and you're meeting new people, where is your place? Where do you fit? What is your life going to look like? And how are you going to show up and help others and be there? And, you know, it's been, I can't even describe it, Linda. It's been so full of love and laughter and peace and just, it's the way has been easy. And I don't know if that's because, you know, all the things that I've been talking about really do work, that when you live in accordance with your values and you set forth these personal mission statements and you're very conscious and intentional about your own rules and drawing those boundaries, like investing in yourself and saying no when you should, and that things just kind of start to fall into place and you become more of your authentic self. And, you know, I don't know why it took me 52 years to get to the place where I finally felt like I was living my own life and not a life that somebody else had prescribed for me. But I guess that's just part of growing up. We try so hard in our younger lives, we try so hard just to please everybody else or to fulfill some standard that might have been set for us by our family or, you know, the expectations of social pressures and that kind of thing. And you always kind of rub against that. Is this who I really am? I mean, some of it's good because it directs you in the area of your interest in life. But then, you know, there's no definition of a conventional life anymore. So why do we keep, you know, trying to raise our kids or apply the social pressure that is the right way to do it? This is not the right way to do it. I mean, thank goodness we're starting to understand that everyone is different and that there are many different versions of happiness and that there isn't
yes, it is.
Or success.
Yes, it
and
is.
There isn't one definition that we all have to strive for. So get over it.
I'm agreeing with you, and I, you know, people, like I say, there you go with that comparing, they judge, you know, sure, I like Lamborghinis, I love Bentleys, I love all that, I don't drive that, but I get to where I have to go. But if you're comparing me with what I'm showing you, you know, what you're seeing, you're really, really out there, because it goes deeper than that, because those type of things don't really excite me. Okay, they're nice, good to have, but that's not me. And when you speak of, you know, coming through your life, trying to satisfy everybody, we'll have to talk about that. I'm trying to think back. Of course, you wanted to abide by the rules, and you wanted your people to be proud and all of that, but I don't really think, Professor Berg, that I really had a problem with that. My most important thing was trying to satisfy me, okay, because at the end of the day, it was me. I was a defiant child. I wouldn't say defiant. I just had my own mind. And so you had your opinion, and I had mine. And sometimes I'd agree, and sometimes I wouldn't agree, because I was given that freedom to be able to do that. So when we go back to the word authenticity, what you see is what you get, okay? And then we can dialogue about it. I'm not going to impress you. I'm not here to impress you, and you can't impress me. What we can do is meet halfway and share and build relationships and share our visions and allot our time and give back. And you give back in many, many ways. Sometimes giving to an individual one smile is a give back. It doesn't have to be a lot, or just a conversation, or just a suggestion. So when you say all of this time to take to get there, and we're all, so what is success and what is wealth? We all are individuals here. What makes you happy with probably, you know, like I say, your happiness could be my lowest point, and vice versa. You talk to people that are, they're not skilled, but they'll say, oh, you've been betrayed, uh-huh. We all been betrayed, but we ain't broke. We ain't broken. Might be disappointed, but we're not defeated. You see that attitude there? That attitude is what fuels you to keep moving forward, but that has to come from you from within, and it doesn't start overnight. It's in your blood, and it's taught to you at early age. And when you grow up as an adult, I feel, and you get into things, and you find persons that are trying to control you or want you to be a fan, it's very hard, because you can't do that. I'm the only one that can restructure myself. Okay. Because it's all coming from myself. I can listen. I can work with you. That's why I like working with the young adults. That's like why I like caring and sharing, because, you know, people have opinions and things, and that's okay. But it's not even about that. It's about what can you give to another individual? How can you encourage someone? This conversation, these rules that you've laid out, your personal rules, your questionnaire that you have out there, because you're skilled, and then the honesty. Sometimes you get tired of being who you are. That was funny to me. I says, oh boy, well, this is something, but I see a different you, and I see a different growth, and I see a different glow. But there have always been beautiful, but I see more additions going in there. Your flowers that you pulled out, I posted them out. They're beautiful. My favorite colors. I said, oh, look at the garden. Look at the flowers. Look at the – but the big fish was the one that I said, you know, that fish is bigger than her. Okay? She better be careful out there hanging out on that fishing boat before she tilt over. I loved it. Your pictures of nature, the water, the moon, the sunset, all of those things are – are refreshing, they're enlightening, they're encouraged. Just, you know, you don't never know what person is. So I personally love it when we get together because we never know what we're going to talk about. None of this stuff is scripted. And that's what the fun is.
I know.
It is like,
I know.
And I'm so happy.
Yeah, you're great. Well, and I appreciate you watching my little adventures on Facebook. We've been Facebook friends for a while since we worked together at University of Laverne. But I have some friends that are not comfortable because it seems very personal. It's almost like my journal. I'm saying, oh, I watched the sunset in a boat on this lake in Arkansas today, and it was beautiful. And here are the pictures, and here's the fish I caught, and it just. And here's who I was with, you know, and it makes some people really uncomfortable. But, I do it more for me. I do it.
You're sharing it.
I want to remember these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to remember them. I mean, and Facebook is kind of cool. Let you make books at the end of the year. You can do it. So you have a scrapbook, literally, of your whole year of adventures.
Yeah.
And so I'm chronicling the adventure of my life. And maybe someday some kid or grandkid or great-grandkid might be interested, maybe not, but at least I captured some of it. We have all the technology at our fingertips, you know, today. My life is full of richness. It's wonderful. I can't complain. And I get tired of myself. When I say I get tired of being me, it's because I think I worry way more than I should.
Let me ask you a question, Professor. Okay, you say you get tired of being you, and here I go. You know me. Well, who you want to be? What you want to be? I have to ask you that. Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out there. You say you tired of being you.
Well, when I say me, I mean the me that does worry and the me that does get anxious and the me that does have that voice in the back of my head going, you're not good enough, or, you know, you should be afraid of this, or what if you don't have enough money, or, you know, what if, you know, this new house you bought, you start going wrong with it and you can't fix them, and what if you have to move back into with your son as your roommate back in California because you can't make it in Arkansas. You know, what if you're too poor in Arkansas to ever go anywhere again? See, that little voice.
Well, that's that other twin. Yeah, I know. That's that other twin. And so that's what you're tired of. Well, I'm going to tell you like it was a change to me. Only you can switch that change when those things start rising up. And I have persons that I speak with that are very dear to me, and they're going to be real, real with me. And if I speak with them on situations, they taught me how to turn the headlights on. And because when you turn the headlights on, you have to put them on high beam so that you can see that path. But the only person can drive that car is you. So when these things come up, I take them as fuel. Maybe that's your fuel. Maybe we all get into that point. I don't like to get in those situations. I'm not too fearful. I've never really, I don't know, it's kind of hard. When I go through something, my attitude changes. But you see, I would have a whole lot of me's to change because, you know, I've got many, many personalities. So those personalities, I have to slide them in different divisions. And, God, if I'd have to change all of them. So I guess you can say, that I get tired of being me, so I switch to all the 52 because I got some personalities and pull them up for whatever time I need to pull them up. But that's like what pulls me through. But they're all authentic, and they're all coming from one place. I just have to put them in categories, okay? You got the sweet ones. You got the friendly ones. You got the, well, let me see ones. Let me think about this one. And then you got the brigadier general that when the stuff is really not right, they step up, okay? And I guess you would say that sometimes you get tired of them brigadiers stepping up trying to overtake. You know, you got some of them pretty anxious, right? But those are the things I get tired of. So I can kind of, like, understand what you're saying, because you try to keep your buttons covered, because, and especially at this time, but sometimes you have to uncover them buttons and let them generals fly. You must do that. So I get tired of having to, I don't like to do it, but I can do it. And sometimes you have to do it. So when you say I'm tired of being me, I have to ask you that, well, who you want to be? Because it's all you. Everything that you're speaking of is all you.
I know. It's just that I feel like I'm constantly revising and learning, and it's like a new discovery. Like, oh, like the ones the things that I added to my rules for abundant living, the recent ones were these. Limit your tendency to experience guilt when you make a decision that is best for you. Okay, I moved from California to Arkansas, and I think I've been experiencing some guilt about that.
Oh, don't.
I left my kids. But you know what? I still think it was the right decision for me, even though it's hurtful. It's hurtful.
Yeah.
I miss my kids, and I'm going to grow old without them, most likely. These are things that are not easy for a mother. And, other people have judged me for it. Other people judge me for it. I've heard someone here in Arkansas say, well, I could never leave my kids.
Well,
so you see what I'm saying?
Well, that's their thing. You know, and it's okay.
But that's what I mean by the world still has these conventions, and the world still judges us, even when we're being our authentic selves.
Well,
I found myself saying I'm not the grandmother type, and then I felt like I had to apologize for it. Because everybody my age is a grandmother, everybody I know, and loving it. That's what they live for. But
yeah,
I'm out climbing mountains.
That's great for them.
I'm climbing mountains and riding my bicycle, and I'm not the grandmother type.
Yeah.
So
I love children. I love babies. You know I love the children. You know when you say anything about children with me, you got me. And then someone made the statement, well, you know, Miss Lindsay, you should keep foster kids. I looked at them. I said, uh-uh. I said, child, I would be on the plane to Las Vegas, and the baby would be sitting in the tub playing with his little scuba toy. And forgot he was in the tub. No, they got to leave at a certain time. They got to go home at 6. Okay, no, I wouldn't be too good at that.
I love to see today at work. We got to take a tour of an after-school program, and then they took us over to where the mobile food truck was, because there's some very poor families in the neighborhood. This is an outreach program.
Okay.
I work for the Department of Education, and we are partnering with this outreach program. And they have after school, and they also have this truck where they take food to these very poor neighborhoods. And the way the truck rolls in to this apartment complex, the guy is yelling on the loudspeaker and honking his horn and saying, it's game Thursday. Come on out, kids. And it's for the kids. And a lot of the parents are home during the day, or if they're not, they've given the kids permission to go out and play and get some of the food and all that. And my coworkers from the state were standing there watching the food truck, and when the kids came out, I said, heck, I'm playing these games with these kids. I took off my sandals, and I jumped in the middle with all these cute, these precious little babies of age 2 to 13, and there were about 10 of them, and I just had the best time for about an hour during my work day, playing games in the hot, hot Arkansas sun with these little babies that just need a little bit of a lift. Lives are hard. They're hard lives. And they need a little lift,
And they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. Yes, and that's what you
offer.
They'll be begging for you to come back.
Well, and I would love to go back because they do it
all the time. Well, yeah. Well, they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And that's what see with that type of attitude and energy, you're educating your coworkers also. Next thing you know, it'll be 2 or 3 of them in that jumping rope with the babies with you. Check it out. Just continue to do it. And on that note, I'm looking at us winding down here. But I have enjoyed you. I want, and I know your time frame is totally different than mine, many, many hours ahead. And I appreciate it. But I'd like to say we got to wrap it up. And I want you to leave us with a few words. Give us, we got a few minutes here. Can you wrap it up with us and give us some thought? You know, some, you know how you stick it and make us write it down and really think about it. So how would you close us out, Professor Bird, today for Think Thursday?
Okay, well, I'd like for everybody, the theme was sort of like creating enough of what you need so you don't ever have to worry about running out. And not only not worrying about running out, but having enough for you and others. So my challenge, the question I would have for anyone who's listening is, how can you learn to manage yourself so your own emotions, you're talking about fear and scarcity and all that, do not get in the way of creating? And when I say creating, I mean creating for your life. How do you manage yourself so your emotions don't get in the way of your creating?
That's your emotions. So that's an inside balancing job. And on that note, Professor Bird, that balancing and managing your emotions, emotions are not a bad thing. They're not a good thing. They belong to us. But it's a good thing to understand. I'm going to say to understand. I will be sending you some information because Stephanie that comes on and tell it Tuesday, she talks to us about moving forward, removing the mask. We just finished the subject of breaking away from other people's expectations. I want to send you that. Because all of that stuff that couples in with us interfere, and it creates our emotional flow. It creates our blockage. It creates our hindrance. It sets up the fear. And we all know it. So what we're going to do, that's why we're about collaboration over here. That's why we're so glad that you come in and shake us up and give us some good thought and put it out there. To educate, to unify. It's about unification, but it starts from within. It's a blend of everything, and you're a big, big part of that for us, and we appreciate you for that. And I just want to let you know how much we love you. And I wrote down the last words, emotion, and what we're going to do, and I got a scale here. So we got to be able to balance those emotions, sit back, and it's okay to be tired of being who you are. Professor Bird, we love you. Please have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I know it's late there. You're about 3 hours ahead of us, aren't you?
Well, no, just two, but I'm good.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
good.
But I, but yeah, but. Yes.
All right.
Yes. And I understand it. So on that note, listeners, this is Professor Karen Bird, our life coach, that's coming on with us. She's spending time to care and share with you, give you some education, give you some love, and give you something to think about. Professor Bird, we love you. Please have a great evening, and I will be sending you information. Love you, love you, love you. Have a great one. Good evening. Thank you. Waking up with Linda McShann and Karen Bird.
How to feel. We care, share, we love all through the land.